All right, so here's the deal. Things are changing fast in the tech world and the internet marketing world. And that's a big deal because you have to know which trends to stay on top of in order to market better, in order to acquire customers for cheap, and so you can run your business as efficiently as possible. Staying on top of all those trends is a pain in the butt, though. And so the folks at HubSpot have made this amazing report. It has a very official sounding name because it is a very official document. It's the 2024 State of Marketing Report. They've looked at millions, tens of millions of bits of data to find the top marketing trends that have the most immediate impact on your business. And so what HubSpot did was they surveyed over 1,400 marketing pros from across the world, and they looked at what are people using effectively, what's not working, more importantly, and they've been able to compile it in a really easy to read document. So if you want to learn ways how to optimize for social or how to boost engagement or how to strike the right balance between privacy but still being personal with your customers, go to HubSpot.com/state of marketing to get the free copy, or just Google HubSpot State of Marketing and it will come up. Check it out.
Okay, $1 million brainstorm. We're back.
You've been in Hawaii. Tell us about that.
If you guys Google lobby conference, you'll see it. A lot of people write about it as if it's this douchey event,
right.
Which it definitely checks the boxes from the outside of being that.
Okay, what's douchey about it?
It's expensive and it's in Hawaii and it's a bunch of tech people. I don't think that's douchey, but it definitely checks many people's boxes.
And it's like exclusive, right? It's like, I think 50
people. It's like invite only.
100 people, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a small number.
It's like an invite only thing. So it definitely checks all the boxes to fit that stereotype. It's called lobby conference.
So okay. How'd you get invited?
One of my investors, Narendra, he referred me. Okay, so it's this, you can Google it to learn about it, but it's this event hosted by David Hornick, one of the partners at August Capital, a VC. 150 or 200 people, invite only. They've done it for 13 years now. And the guys who were there on the first year, many of them are still there. And it's like internet OGs, like Tony Hsieh, the founder of Zappos, was there.
Kevin Rose.
I had dinner and hung out most of the time with Tim Westergen, founder of Pandora.
Yep.
Like all these guys who were like maybe my age now, but are in their 40s,
right,
who were still trying to have a hit and have now had some hits. It was awesome. It was great. Two takeaways.
Yeah.
Number one, Gen Z, totally, they're fucked.
Okay, why?
We talked about, like, there's this one.
Were they there? I don't think there's
no, there was, like, there. We had these, like, little meetups about, like, and we would talk about interesting things. Gen Z, I didn't realize it. They're having very little sex. They're doing a lot of drugs, but they're not drinking. And a lot of them have depression and mental.
Gen Z is like 21 and younger right now?
Maybe 24.
24 and younger. Okay.
Yeah. The suicide rate's high. The depression rate is like astronomical. A lot
so
of issues.
Who was talking about this? Who was like the
There's
Gen
one
Z
one woman
expert?
Who runs like a research firm for Gen Z. So it I was see. Very okay. much like, well, here's what the cool kids think.
Right.
I realized that at that time I'm like an old guy who's like, well, how do they use?
Yeah, exactly. Old people talking about young people.
Yeah.
It never fails.
Funny. I was like the youngest guy there. People had Gen Z children. Yeah. And they were talking about it.
Right. Okay, fair enough. All right, so that was one takeaway. What's the second
one? The second thing, there was tons of like rich ballers there, like really wealthy. And a lot of them seemed just horribly like down, depressed, and not like that.
If you're young or if you're rich, you're depressed. That's what I'm learning.
Well, like, and this is something that's kind of like, I can't believe I'm saying this because everyone who's young hears this and no one believes it, which is that money will not make you as happy as you think it will.
Right.
I saw this firsthand very clearly.
What made you say this? So they're at this conference and they were just kind of recluse, or what made you feel this? Or they were sharing,
well,
like, look, I'm not feeling great.
First of all, yes, a lot of people, there was this one gathering, it was like a bunch of small sessions and people would complain about stuff, like say, here's what I'm struggling with. And you think that these people who have it all figured out, they definitely don't.
Right.
People brought their families and you see like the interactions that people have had with their husbands or wives or kids. And it's like, dude, this guy on the surface appears like this baller, but he's going through the normal bullshit that every
right.
family man is going through.
Right. Yeah. I have a friend who's, I don't know how wealthy he is, but close to a billionaire. And he was talking about this, how he was feeling this way. And he's like, the problem is no one wants to hear about an unhappy billionaire. He's like, you will get zero listeners to that like talk. And he's like, so you end up just sort of bottling it up and going on your way.
What you're saying and what happened this past weekend, and I have a few friends that just sold, your friends too, just sold big companies. And I was with one of them and we went to the ATM because he was like wanted to have like a celebratory where he like printed out his receipt.
Yeah.
$200 million on the ATM receipt. Wild. A wild amount. And then we went and had dinner at like a Whole Foods.
Right.
Like really cheap.
$7.
Yeah. Like we went to a grocery store, I think, and just ate on the patio. And he was stressed out. He was like, what am I going to do with this? And I was like, dude, when are people going to like chill? And see?
There's a Jim Carrey quote where he goes, I wish everybody could be rich and famous so they would know that that's not the answer.
Yeah. But it's depressing.
This podcast is like all about building successful businesses called Million Dollar Everything. I feel like half the conversations are like, yeah, money's not the thing.
I think we need to reiterate that, which is that it's not. It's just like if you're training for an event or training for weightlifting, you are no different from 150 pounds to 300 pounds in terms of like bench press.
Right.
It's just the act of pursuing that is exciting.
Yeah, the act of pursuing is fulfilling in itself. And the other thing is when you have money, you have freedom. But you don't need
gobs of money. You need less than you think.
Yeah, you need less than you think. But that freedom is very powerful. Okay, so let's do it. Ideas. What do we got? We promised the people some ideas, talking about different trends, talking about different ideas that we find interesting. You want to go first or me?
You.
Okay, cool. All right, I have one. Have you heard of maid bathrooms?
No.
Okay, these things called maid renovations. All right, so I saw this ad on Facebook, and basically it was like a before and after. And a before after is, in my opinion, the best sales pitch I've ever seen, always, right? If you split screen on the left, it's like, this is you before. On the right, this is you after. And so the left and right in this one were, left was like a normal, ordinary, kind of crappy looking bathroom. And on the right was like this really slick looking bathroom. And it basically said, we will come renovate your bathroom for X dollars and it'll look exactly like this. And I was like, this is interesting. Like I've never seen somebody advertise a bathroom renovation on Facebook. So I clicked it. And basically what this company does is they have three stock designs and they all look great. And so there's like a super modern one. There's kind of an old school Victorian looking one, but again, very clean. There's like another one that's like,
what's
also
the
modern.
Company called Maid Bathroom?
Maid, yeah. And so all you do is you say, yeah, I want that bathroom. Like, you don't have to hire a contractor, go through ideas with them, figure out what you want for the sink versus the toilet versus the walls. It's like, no, this is the bathroom. Do you
is
want
this, like
this
a,
in your
a
house?
Silicon Valley thing or like a...
I don't think that they're super Silicon Valley centric. They are available here, I saw, but
is this like a new startup? Like
it is a startup, yes. It is a startup. So it's a direct to consumer turnkey renovation. And so most people who do home renovations want kitchens and bathrooms. Clearly they're starting with bathrooms, will probably expand to kitchens. The second thing, they're taking all the thought out of it. They're
I love that.
This is a beautiful bathroom. Do you want this one, or this one? We have three models. And then I thought, wow, because they only have three models, they're probably getting phenomenal prices, economies of scale on buying the materials they need to do this. They're training contractors to like deliver the exact bathroom. And so they're probably training staff that's like just has to learn this one thing. And for the buyer, they're taking all the complexity of this kind of tangled project. Like, oh, do I want to do a home renovation
so,
right now?
Like elimination
they're making
of
it easy.
Choice.
Elimination of choice.
Okay, that... I think that should work for haircuts, men haircuts, like barbers.
Yeah, when I go to the barber, I want to choose like I'm at Subway. Be like, here's the 14. I'll take the number 12
yeah.
large.
Because everyone gets, 80% of people get the same shit. They say right. short on the sides, a little bit off the top.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know why they ask me. I'm like, just look at it and just make it shorter of
okay,
this.
Okay, so what else could that work for? Where like you eliminate choices. I think interior design and renovation is like a great idea.
Yeah, it's just so complicated. I think travel is another one. So turnkey vacations. So if you knew, not just the flight, the hotel, the whatever, people do this, but like flight, hotel, and activities, bundle it up, give you a price, and be like, okay, you've heard that the Bahamas is great. Here's Bahamas if you want to just hit the buy button. And just email people every week being like, here's Aruba, buy button. Here's you want to go to Venice, here's the buy button. And I think eliminating the choice and the planning required to set up a vacation.
I think that's a cool concept. I'm going to think about that for a little while of what to start that where you eliminate choice. I mean, look, it goes both ways. Like the more products a company launches, the more money they make typically. But also a lot of times when you just sell one or two or three things, it makes life better and you can
And you can
really
deliver
well.
On that service in a way that you can't if you have this like larger variety of choice and customizability. And so it won't work for everything. But if it does work for one thing, and I think it'll work for something like bathrooms and kitchens, that's such a high ticket price thing that could be a really big business. So I'm excited about
that.
Those guys.
Okay, something we covered on trends and I experienced this weekend because people were talking about it. Kava bars or
yeah,
kava.
What is kava? I've heard of
okay,
this.
Okay, I've done it. I lived in Australia for a little while. Fiji's like Australia's Mexico. So it's like we're like, it's like the Caribbean. Like
yeah, of course. Makes
and
sense.
So I went to Fiji for 2 weeks and we hung out and we drank kava. It's like a root. It tastes like dirt. And you mix it with water, and we would just sit around a circle with the folks who lived in the Fijians, and we would drink it, and it gives you a mild high effect. It kind of felt a little bit like weed,
yep.
Where you're like chill, and people loved it. Immediately, when I went home from Fiji, I wanted to buy some more, and it was really hard to buy it.
But what's the experience? You said tastes a little bit like dirt.
It tastes bad.
It's a drink. And
it's a communal thing. You sit around.
Okay, so it's like hookah in a way, or so are you passing it or
it's
something?
It's like hookah, but it definitely gives you a small high.
Gives you a small high.
It's just
okay.
Like smoking weed with your friends.
Right.
Kinda.
So on a scale of like, I don't know, is it like a cigarette? Is it less than weed? Is it like Molly?
Less than weed, less than Molly, more than a cigarette, less than alcohol.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, we discovered that in trends. I don't think that's ever going to be huge, but it's definitely like a niche popular thing that you could make a business out of. But hallucinogenics, man. I met this guy who at the lobby, he was like, I just got back from 30 days in Amazon doing ayahuasca.
Right.
There's this idea that whatever is popular among elite Silicon Valley people 15 years from now will be mainstream.
Right.
Because they're like the rich nerds who like have the time to like try stuff.
Do this experimentation.
I've never done a hallucinogenic.
Right. Me neither.
I'm super into it though. Like the idea of it. I want to explore it.
What stops you from doing it? Because you're super into it. I'm not that into it. So it makes sense that I haven't done it. You're super into it. Why haven't you tried?
Because I don't know who to trust.
But even your buddy does it, right?
Yeah, but he's a weirdo. And I tell him, I don't know if I can trust you because you're extreme.
Okay.
So like, if I could find like a normal person who could be like, yeah, this one is a little too much.
Like if you could go into a clinic and you're like, great, under supervision in this cool environment, if it looked like a spa.
Yeah. And so I
would you want that?
Yeah, I would love that. And I went to a session where I met with a guy who was going to take me through the process. And I got into an argument with him because he was talking to me about, I was like, asked him what he did for work. And he like was a former venture capitalist. But then he was talking about how capitalism was horrible. And I was like, well, that doesn't. So like, why are you charging me? And so anyway, we got in a fight over like values. And so he kicked me out of the group.
Okay.
But I was almost on the verge of trying it. So I'm really interested in, we discovered Kava, or we talked about Kava and trance. I think the ketamine, crazy interesting.
Right.
I think these things are going to be much bigger.
And there's a related trend of this like kin euphorics. Have you heard of this? It's a basically there's a trend of non-alcoholic.
Oh, yeah.
So they're non-alcoholic drinks. And what they are is I think kin euphorics has like some, I don't know what chemicals they put in, but it's supposed to give you some kind of buzz without being alcohol.
Yeah, we covered sort of the non-alcoholic stuff as well. So non-alcoholic beverages. I've drank non-alcoholic beverages now for about 8 years. I drink non-alcoholic beer regularly. I like it.
Like what? Like a ginger beer type of thing? What
no, O'Doul's was for the longest time has been the only one. But over the past 3 years, Heineken has introduced some. Japanese brands have come about. It's a little more popular in Japan. So the Japanese brands have come to America.
Right.
There's been a lot of new variety. And that's a growing trend that we actually have already written a report on is non-alcoholic beverages. And interestingly, Gen Z is drinking significantly less than millennials. And
yeah, exactly. I think I've seen that trend firsthand. And then when I saw you guys write about that, it made a lot of sense to me.
But Heineken, the CEO of Heineken said that the fastest growing category is, they call it 0.0. That's the name of their brand.
Okay.
It is these 0.0 beers.
Non-alcoholic beer.
Non-alcoholic beer. But they even have some that are non-alcohol and no calorie.
And no drink.
Yeah.
You just do air. Nothing. Yeah. All right. I got another one. All right. So what if I told you that I could give you some IP, intellectual property like Star Wars, Pokemon, Hello Kitty, whatever. I could give you globally famous IP. Billions of people recognize this IP and I could give it to you for free and I could let you build a business around this IP at no charge. Would that be something you're interested in?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, religion. So I sort of had this realization the other day, wanted to buy a gift for my niece and I was like, what did I used to like when I was little? I loved Where's Waldo books and I was like, Where's Waldo? And I just went down the rabbit hole of like, who the hell made that? What is this? How is this so popular? Blah, blah, blah. Sort of thought, what's the modern day Where's Waldo? Could somebody create a new Where's Waldo book, right? So same premise, just finding pictures in a book because kids love books, but reading is tough, right? So this picture book is actually pretty cool because it's like active. You don't just like flip through the pages.
Who do we think, who owns Waldo? That probably like
So I read about
Penguin
the guy who made it. I forgot his name, but yeah, he, you know, whatever. A publisher owns it.
Probably crushed it.
And they crushed it. And I was like, what if you made a new Where's Waldo? I was like, well, part of the magic was that Waldo was this character that just worked. And I was like, what character could you use? And I was like, what if you did this with religion? Because the other thing my sister always wants is to introduce culture to her kids in a way that they like, that is playful, that's fun, that's interesting. And so I was like, my family is like Hindu, right? So they have Hindus like 100 different gods. Oh, this would be cool. You basically have this page with a bunch of different little, you know, drawings.
Like stories.
And you're trying
about
to find
gods.
Yeah, you're trying to find Hanuman and you're trying to find this god and you're trying
Does
to find
anyone
that god.
Can anyone own?
Anybody can use God's images, likenesses, and names because nobody owns the religious IP. Hence my starter of what if you could use globally famous IP for free for profits. So I believe that there's a set of businesses. The Where's Waldo one is just a goofy version of this, but the better version, the version I've thought about starting is to do Calm, but for religion. I don't know if we already talked about this, but like daily prayer, daily sermon, daily Bible passage, daily whatever. These apps are quite popular. And so if you use the Calm model of audio, premium and freemium audio, and every day you could have 5 minutes of faith where you would just listen to a prayer or a sermon from
That's awesome.
Your religion. So I think this could be a really big business. I was awesome. Very close to going and starting this one, but it's not a founder fit for me. Like, I don't even believe in religion. So if somebody out there wants to do this, I will help you do this. I put a lot of thought into how you would do this, how you would grow it. But I think religion generally as a free source of popular IP is like an untapped opportunity.
That's awesome. Two comments. There's this set of Googlers, ex-Google people. I think they emailed me after our podcast, who were Christians, and they created like a Christian meditation app. Have you heard about this?
A Halo or something. Or...
Someone messaged me after our podcast and they told me the numbers and it was astronomical.
Yeah, I've seen their numbers. They are really good. It validates this idea. They're doing it for Christians. Somebody else can do it for Catholics.
But is it just a Christian meditation thing?
It's exactly what I just described. It's a daily Christian meditation, which is basically like a prayer. And you hit the amen button when you're done and you could share it. And people love sharing religious shit on Facebook anyway, so it grows somewhat organically through that.
So when I think of like business ideas, I like to think of from a distribution first.
Yes.
So how do you get users? The advertising rates on Christian and without judgment, but let's just say conservative websites, stupidly low.
Right, right.
Engagement is stupidly high.
Right.
There is a
lot. Because mainstream brands don't want to associate with some of these super popular conservative
publications. Yeah, and the people who typically, because I've bought ads on like religious websites and right-leaning political websites.
Where do you even go to do that? You just go direct or there's like an ad network for that?
Direct. Okay. Yeah, you could do direct, but like, so like Breitbart,
yeah,
their marketing, I sent them to everyone's emails to understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
Breitbart has the most aggressive, like they'll let people buy their email list.
Right.
And they're the most aggressive and the most effective. Like they sent one email to me that said like from the desk of Nancy Pelosi. And it was like a letter written about, and it said like, we're going to come for your guns. So you better donate now or like whatever.
Crazy. Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is going to kill it. So anyway,
you can get distribution there.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of undervalued distribution, but a lot of like the young techies who build this stuff are typically on the opposite end of that. So they don't even think about that, but it's there.
Yeah, I like that. I think traditional ad buys, that's a smarter way to ad buy. I think that works because, again, you're charging on the other side through people who pay for that $79 a year subscription. The other thing is I think through churches you could get distribution. So you give the church the ability to make their own group in this thing and let them distribute it. And then it's like, hey, for the people who are not coming to church on Sundays or who want it Monday through Saturday, here's a way they can engage.
And the market size for this is like 200 million people.
Yeah.
Like, only in America and only the Christian one, let alone the other religions.
Right, exactly. So I would actually start with Islam for this because there's a couple other like specific app features.
There's like 4 billion Islamic people in the world, or Muslims.